Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Episode 11, If You Build It, Will They Come? How to find proof your big idea will work before you burn through your savings. Hello, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate. And if you are new to our show, welcome home. I'm Deb Boulanger, founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs, where I guide women leaders in how to make the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur and growing a thriving business without burning through your savings. And this is part two of a four-part series on the basic fundamentals on how to launch a successful business from the start. And before we get started, I just wanted to make a shout out to one of our fans. So I so appreciate it when you listen to this show and you take the time to rate the show and write a review. So shout out to Live in Your Truth, who says, this is worth your time. This podcast is full of practical and relatable advice to help you on your success path. I really appreciate all the tips, constantly getting new ideas from this content. And I recommend you listen first thing in the morning to get your day off to a successful start. So thank you so much, Live in Your Truth. It's great to have you listening to this show today. So recently, I had a conversation with a woman who helps women entrepreneurs and business owners thrive financially. And she can't seem to grow her business herself. And she's about 2 years into this and still doesn't have paying clients. And she has all the right credentials. She has all the right knowledge, all the right content, but she hasn't closed a single sale. And she's tried building out marketing content. She's invested in speaker training. And although she's had some scattershot successes in landing a speaking gig here and there, it really hasn't led to anything else. She'd love to write a book and have a platform for getting speaking gigs, because that's what books are really great for, right? So you write a book and people read your book and then they invite you to speak. And when they invite you to speak, you can invite them to actually work with you. But since she doesn't already have a following, no one is interested in publishing her book. So it's that proverbial chicken and egg. You can't get a book published because you don't have a following. And she feels she doesn't have a following because she doesn't have a book. And I wanted to share some kind of stark statistics with you about why it's true that most new businesses will fail. Because according to the latest information on small business failures, and this is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, about 20% of small businesses fail within the first year, and 33% of businesses will fail within 2 years, and about 50% of small businesses fail within 5 years. And that's the statistic that we're most familiar with. But what you don't know, or we don't often hear, is that roughly 66% of small businesses fail within 10 years. So I started digging into this. I was like, okay, why is this failure rate so high? And I came upon this study from the research firm CB Insights, where they analyzed 101 business failures to compile the top 10 reasons why entrepreneurs fail. And I think you'll find the results really surprising because it's not what you think. So rather than go through all 10, I bet you're thinking now, oh, I know what it is. So I'll start with number 3 and we'll work our way down. The number 3 reason is it's not the right team, and 23% of companies fail because it's not the right team. And while your friends may be fun to work with, their skill set might not be what you really need, and sometimes the extra stress of that relationship can cause more stress and tension in your company than bringing on a team member who is really right for the task. And while a lot of business owners will and it's so natural, people do this in the corporate world as well, is hire someone like themselves. It's like hiring a mini me, when the best way to make a hire is understand what your strengths are, what you really enjoy doing, what your secret sauce is, and identify the holes in your skill set and find team members who believe in your mission and have the skill sets that you're missing. The number two reason why most new small businesses fail is that they ran out of cash. And that represents 29% of all business failures. And I bet that's what you were thinking of, because cash flow is so critically important, right? And it's so logical. There are so many little costs of starting up a business that really add up. There's building your website, there's trademarking your brands, there's getting people to help you with your marketing, graphic design, and the many software solutions that add up, your CRM system, your lead pages, course platforms, and so many anymore. So go into your business with a clear understanding of your startup costs and a clear plan for how you're going to fund your startup period. The key here is not to burn through your savings and end up back into a job to pay your bills. So are you ready? Let's do a little drum roll, please. I know my engineers will hate this. All right, the number one reason why 42% of new businesses fail is no market need. Like, really wrap your head around that one, my friend. No market need. So why would anyone, number one, take the risk of launching a business, pour their heart and soul into creating a mission that they're passionate about, invest in creating an entity and building a website and trademarking their brand, when there was no market need? So according to CB Insights, this is what is known as a solution looking for a problem, or in the corporate days, we used to say a hammer in search of a nail. When a product, an app, a gadget, any service is created because the entrepreneur thought it was a pretty good idea, it runs the risk of not having an actual market problem that it solves. Now, if you haven't listened to episode 9, go there next, because that's when we talked about finding the gap that everyone else is missing. If your product or service doesn't fill a gap, you don't have a business. And it's just a matter of time before your money runs out and you will be back to square one. So don't fall in love with your idea. Fall more in love with solving a market need. Because when you're first thinking about your business, you have a big idea. And that's all it is at this point. It's a big idea. It's not a business. And to launch a successful business, you need proof. You need proof that your big idea will work, because without proof, you don't have a business. And to find proof, you need to get outside of your own head and look outside for validation. Are there people actually looking for solutions to the problem you solve? And where are they getting their answers today? And what's working for them, what's not working, and are they actually investing money to get this solved? Now, that's a key question. Are they investing money to get this problem solved? Because if it's not a big enough problem for them to actually pay to make the problem go away, then you might not have proof that people are willing to invest with you. And we want to understand, how big is that market and how many players are already there? It's great to get proof that there's a market because there are other people out there doing what you do and they're getting paid for it. The other side of that coin is there are a lot of other people out there getting paid to do what you do, and you'll have a hard time standing out. So we're going to talk about that in our next episode, about how you can carve out a differentiated value proposition and actually stand out in your market. So here's a question to get you started. And if you're taking notes, this is worth writing down. How would you find proof that people want to buy what you want to sell? And for the most part, I'm talking about services here, packaging your services as products. So would you like some help figuring that out? All right. So here's my secret formula that works over and over and over again without fail. Ask them. Have conversations with people you think are potential clients. That is the single most effective way to get proof that your big idea will work and to fine-tune what you're offering and how you're offering it. In these conversations, you'll also get insight in how to package and price that service. It is the most effective way to find out how to market your services, and we'll dive more deeply into that in the future. Because if you're having conversations, you become a mind reader for what your ideal client wants most. And when you are a mind reader for what they want most, your messages stick. Because most great marketers are great mind readers. So back to finding proof. And researching what your ideal clients want and need is the most effective way of finding proof. And this is a place where surveys are not very effective, mostly because what you want to do is connect with your ideal client and have interesting conversations, because it's the tangents that you go down that will become the secret sauce. You don't know what you don't know. And when someone comes up with an idea that makes you light up inside because you know that you have the skills and you can create something really cool around that idea, that's when you get clear on who an ideal client is and who's not and how you can stand out in a crowded market. The biggest mistake I hear new coaches, consultants, and trainers make when I ask them, who's your ideal client? And the answer inevitably starts with anyone who dot, 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 right? So my radar goes off because, my friend, if you are selling your services to anyone, air quote, you are selling to no one. Not everyone who has this gap or has this problem in their life or in their business is going to be an ideal client. Ideal clients are the ones who are willing to invest with you to make that problem go away and get to where they want to be. And they need to get excited about you. They need to be excited about you. They need to trust you. And they need to get excited about the prospect of working with you and how you offer your services. So are you getting the breakdown here? Yes, anyone can launch a business. But because you can launch a business doesn't mean you'll make money at that business. So when I first launched the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs, I saw that the market was flooded with marketing and branding coaches and many people who were selling their secret formula to six or seven figures, right? You all know who they are. Their coaches, their courses out there that have their formula, their framework, you know, here's how you get to $1 million in less than a year. But no one was out there talking about the real truth of how hard it is to launch a business and why most businesses fail and how to find proof that there was a real market need and teaching you the skills that you need to stand out as unique in your market. You want to be a market of one. You want to be the only person that occupies that spot and has that credibility. So there's plenty of cookie cutter courses, and cookie cutter courses result in cookie cutter coaches and consultants. And what worked for one doesn't necessarily work the same way for everyone. So when you are validating your big idea, be curious. You're searching for this diamond of an idea that is rough and needs some polishing. But when you find it and polish it up and you launch your business around this new solution to a need in your market, you get immediate traction with your marketing and your business will grow. And then, my friend, that's where you have the peace of mind that you made the right choice and that you don't have to go back and find a job. And that's what we all want. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for everyone who's listening to this podcast today. So was this useful to you? If you found value in this episode, please take a minute to leave me a note in iTunes by leaving a review. It truly means so much to me to hear from you. Let me leave you with a question. If you were to find proof that your big idea will work, how would you do it? Who would you talk to? And what questions would you ask them? And if you'd like some help around that, download my free business assessment for new entrepreneurs. You can grab that at http:// newbizquiz.com. That's newbizquiz.com. And if you qualify, I'll reach out to you with some options for us to chat. Yes, you and me will chat about your business idea and how you can find proof that your big idea will work. And to get even more entrepreneurial love, please come over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group. There we have live trainings, units for you to study, and an engaging community of women entrepreneurs just like you to share this journey with. That's it for now, my friend. Till next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.